Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Thinking about the text that I was going to preach this morning in Mark in chapter 5. It covers a lot of problems. How many's lives are filled with problems? How many here, you have life filled with problems? Raise your hand. Say amen. That's all over us. Every day it's a new problem, a new battle, a new mountain to climb, something more going on. Some problems are ongoing for a while because they're out of our control. They're out of our hands. And I'm telling you what you need to do, because it is out of your hands, quit trying to manipulate everything and turn to God. Just simply turn to God. And in Mark in chapter 5, there's all kinds of life's problems that are labeled here in the text. And the solution is always the same in every problem. Every problem you have is already fixed in the person of Jesus Christ. Every mountain that you have to experience in life has already been conquered in the person of Jesus Christ. Too many of us, we get in the circumstance of the problem of life, whatever it is, and we take our eyes off God. And I know I'm preaching something that's so easy to preach, and it's hard to live out sometimes. Some of you, perhaps you're in despair this morning. Some of you, perhaps, are disillusioned this morning. I'm telling you, you've taken your eyes off Christ. I know sometimes the water's deep. I understand that. Sometimes you got to tread water because you're in way over your head. I want you to understand there is one who can calm the storm. There is one who will rescue you every time you cry out. You say, I've been crying out to God. It's like he's not hearing me. Then he's not through with you yet. There's something going on in your life. He's trying to develop you. Maybe he's waiting for you to surrender. I'm kind of thick-headed sometimes. And I have to experience a problem longer than what I need to because I'm not willing to surrender to God. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning. I do know I'm preaching to sinners. And we're all made of the same stuff. And if you're born again, we all have the same Savior. And I want you to know that Mark and chapter 5 applies to you. It applies to where you're living this morning. Life filled with problems. Ill health, ill-tempered people, financial adversity, things that don't work, things that don't fit, things that don't grow, things that wear out. There is one chapter that covers every problem you'll ever face from the cradle to the grave. And it's Mark in chapter 5. Now, you're going to have to stay with me because it's going to be jackrabbit kind of thing where I'm jumping from one problem to the next problem to the next problem. Why don't you stand with me, please? And I want to read the first few verses of Mark and chapter 5. And they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when they were come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. It's a hopeless, satanically controlled existence. Verse 4 says, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He was unruly. He was hopeless. And then Jesus came. Father, would you bless this morning? Would you make it real and powerful? Make it practical. I got a 5-point outline, but it doesn't matter that I covered that outline. What matters is you meet with us and we hear the word of God. And Jesus, wherever people are this morning, myself included, would you help we that are sinners saved by grace to be more like Jesus? Some of us struggle and carry loads we are not designed to carry because we're unruly, because we're rebellious. God, I also pray for anyone here that's not born again, that today they'd be saved. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. God has not left us alone. God has not left us without a roadmap, a compass, an anchor. In these 43 verses of the 5th chapter, God covers a lot of territory. First of all, there's a sin problem. We've all got that. And the solution to the sin problem is the solution to all of the problems that are going to be listed in Mark in chapter 5. They all kind of overlap one another. They all kind of dovetail into one another. And first of all, we read of a demon-possessed man. Maybe there's somebody here who's got a problem. You're controlled by Satan. You're someone who's never surrendered to Christ. Someone who's never been born again. Someone who's all caught up in the world, in the cosmos, and emotions, and Satan has captured your mind and your thought process, and he has you whenever he wants you, and you don't need to be that way. Maybe you are a born-again Christian, and you're not demon-possessed like this man in the tombs and in the mountains, cutting himself and crying out and hopeless. You're someone who is born again, and there's great turmoil on the inside. Because you're born again, you'll never be demon-possessed, but you are obsessed by Satan. He oppresses you all of the time. He controls you. He whistles and you come running because you're bound in chains of sin. And you don't need to be that way, not as a child of God. Please understand that. There is a better life that Christ has provided for you after salvation if you would just finally surrender to him. Look what it says here in verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. That to me is just so interesting. Every time I read that, I think, wow. Here's a man possessed by demons. He's filled with demons. And the demons know to worship the Son of God. One day they will. They will bend their knee, even the demons in hell, and name the name of Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So there they are in the presence of God. Remember, at one time, they were angels in the presence of God. If you were here in Sunday school this morning, you heard about that. And the third of the angels fell with Lucifer, fell with the devil. They know who the Son of God is. There's no doubt who Jesus is. And they run to him and they worship him. You see, there's a lot of worship even in the world today that isn't pleasing to God. Another message. Verse 7 says, and he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked, what is thy name? And he said, and he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And there were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. That's interesting. This isn't my message this morning, but even pigs know that being demon-possessed is not a good thing. And they didn't want anything to do with it. These demons, when Jesus gave them leave, interesting word, at the command of God, at the command of the Son of God, these demons scurry. Verse 14 says, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what that was done. Went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Here was a man possessed by a host of demons named Legion. He was in chains and he would break the chains. He was unruly and lived in the tombs and in the mountains. He would throw himself into the flame. He would cut himself. He would cry. It was a hopeless condition. And then Jesus came. By the way, no one's without hope. If you're here this morning, you've never been born again, there's a God in heaven, the very Son of God, who shed his blood for you and died for you that you might have eternal life. If you would call upon him, he would change you as well. And look what it says here. It says, this man was sitting, so there was peace in his heart, patient, and clothed. The devil wants you to take your clothes off all the time. And in his right mind, all of a sudden he has peace of mind and discernment. And they were afraid. They that saw him told them how it fell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. Unsaved people are uncomfortable around New Testament Christianity. Worldly Christians are uncomfortable around truly godly people. It's no longer their crowd. By the way, your best friends ought to be good Christians. People that love God. People that do live holy lives. Not perfect, but holy lives. The worldly people, they're uncomfortable with that. It's easy to say the unsaved, they're uncomfortable with that. But to say that the carnal Christians, that kind of hurts a little bit, but they're uncomfortable as well. Soon as they can, they're going to get out of church this morning. Soon as they can, man, they're going to get away from people that are going to convict them, all right? Let's go back to the text here very quickly. Verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Number one, there's the problem of sin. So many today are bound with lust and drink and pride and pornography and cussing and blasphemy and bound in the chains of sin. And I want you to know this morning there is freedom in Christ. And Christ will break the chains and set you free. You can have a new life in Christ. You'll never find it in the world. You'll never find it in a bettering yourself kind of program. But you will find it in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the solutions. The solution, the only solution. Confess your sins to Christ. You see, if you confess your sins to man, you still have guilt. And it really doesn't help you. Not in any way. If you try to bury your sins in busyness, in activity, it doesn't solve the problem. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 28 and verse 13, that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, and he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Many people don't face their sins. I'm talking to New Testament Christians now, saved by grace. They try to bury their sins in busyness, in activities, in things that occupy their mind or their heart. That doesn't take away guilt. Therefore, they're miserable. I think I said last Sunday morning, I want to say it one more time this morning because I need to be reminded of it all the time. We're a happy people. I don't trust people that can't laugh. I don't trust people that walk around with a scowl on their face all the time. Got that wrinkle right there. All, constantly mad. I hope you do it long enough, your face freezes like that. Just like that. You know, I mean, people that can't laugh at themselves and laugh at life and don't know the joy of the Lord. Man, that doesn't equate with New Testament Christianity. Our burdens have been lifted. The chains have fallen off. We have a living Savior, a living God. He's provided for us every day of our lives. And the mercies of God are new every morning. Man, you ought to rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. Verse 18, let's go there real quickly again. It says, and when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. There's a good indication of being born again. This man wanted to be with Jesus. He said, take me with you. I want to go with you. Don't make me get out of the ship. I want to go with you. And Jesus said, he spoke to the man's first responsibility. He says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends. He said, go home. Tell your loved ones. Tell your people who the Messiah is and how good God is and how they too can have their needs met in the very Son of God. Our children, our wives, if you're a woman, your husband, your children, your first responsibility. Man, teach your children to love God. Teach your children to be generous. Too easy to be selfish. If you teach little Bobby how to make money and save money, and that's it, you miss it. You're teaching a young man to become a man who will hoard things and treasure this world. But if you teach little Bobby or little sis to be industrious, to work with your hands, go ahead and make money, but be generous, now you're teaching somebody to live a Christian life. Raising children, it's no picnic, man. Mark Twain said it. He said, when your kids get to be 13 years of age, when they become a teenager, put them in a wooden barrel and put the top down and feed them through that little hole in the side of the barrel. And when they turn to be 16, plug the hole up. That's how you do it. You know, they're in transition. Little kids have problems too. You know, there's a skill, there's a grace that God gives in raising children and raising them for God's glory. It's too easy to raise them for we four and no more. Don't do that. Don't do that as a child of God. You have a responsibility. This maniac The demons were cast out of him. Jesus, I want to go with you. Jesus said, no, you go home. You tell your people how good God is. You tell them of the Messiah, what you know to be true. The problems of the home, whatever they may be, can be fixed in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine this? Little poetic license. This man, the demons are gone. He's born again. He becomes a new creation in Christ. I know it's just prior to Calvary. I understand that. But look what Jesus is teaching here. Perhaps he's beat his wife all of his life. Perhaps he's beat his children and they cowered behind the corner and under the beds when he was coming home. Maybe you know what that's like. Some of you that were past drunks and whatever, drug addicts and whatever. Maybe your daddy used to be that way. You know exactly what that's about. Daddy's home. Everybody runs and hides. And the mom says, Daddy's home. And everybody begins to run and hide. But then the mom looks out the window or out the door and says, wait a minute. He's walking different. His hair is combed. His face is cleaned. Man, he's happy. Children, daddy's different. That's what Jesus does. A complete change. If you would just come to know the Christ that I know I don't do a good job of living it out. I know my feet are made of clay. I know I fail God from time to time. No, if you could just know the peace that I know, if you could know the Savior that I know, if you could know the goodness of God, just like we sang this morning, if you could just know my Jesus, how good he is to me. I want to testify. I love Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, more today than I did the day I got saved. I know more about him. I know about life. I know the Word of God. I know how good he's been to Tim Rader. I know how good he's been to me in spite of my own failings. Man, if you could just know the joy of the Lord, I know you'd serve him better. I still stumble. I still fail. I still have problems at home. Man, that's hard to believe, isn't it? Sometimes my kids are all grown. Too often they live, a little bit of fountain comes out of them and not enough Raider comes out of them. And you know, they kind of go in that direction. But I want you to know, God is good. I look back and I see the blessings of God in their lives. I'm so thankful. I don't take that for granted. I have a God who answers my prayers. I get down on my knees and pray, and he moves. He does great things, better than I ask for, in a more complete way, many, many times. In hindsight, I look back and say, God, thank you for overriding that prayer, and God, thank you for hearing that prayer over there. If I could just testify this morning, all of your problems from the cradle to the grave are met in the person of Jesus Christ. I got a lot to preach and not enough time. Let's go to verse 25 very quickly. Verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. You know what that is, to suffer at the hands of doctors. And had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She has a health problem. Before that, look at the fact that she's got poverty. She spent everything that she had. She has a financial problem. Earlier than this, we could go back to the ruler of the synagogue in verse 21, and we'll end with him later in the chapter. And he's got a health problem. He's sick. His daughter is sick and dying, and he knows to come to Jesus. This woman with Jesus passing through the crowd, she has this issue of blood. She knows to come to Jesus. The maniac in the tombs, he knew to come to Jesus. If we could just understand in the 21st century, the answer to our problems, be it a sin problem, be it a poverty problem, be it a sickness problem, the answer is found in Jesus Christ. If we could just understand that much, man, we'd be well on our way to having our problems solved. Here this lady is, all her money's gone. She spent it on trying to get better. She has nothing left. A lot of bills. No money. No way to sustain herself. Saying, Pastor, are you telling me that if I would turn to God and surrender to him today, that he would meet all my money needs? Yes. Yes, I am. That's what the New Testament teaches. Whether it be Matthew 6, 1 Corinthians 9, Philippians chapter 4, that's exactly what I'm teaching. That's what I'm trying to share with you this morning. There's so many today struggling financially. We all know what that is. Put Christ first. It'll all be fixed. You may not have everything you want, but you'll have all your needs met. And you'll have peace of heart right along with it. And many times He'll give you more than you need and give you your very desires. For He is a good God. If you just learn faithfulness. I am telling you this. There is not a faithful member of Fundamental Baptist Church, faithful being the key word, except you live in a better home now than you would have lived had you not put Jesus first. You wear better clothes today than you would have worn had you not put Jesus Christ first. You'll never outgive God. You'll never outbless God. You'll never outlove God. We know and can testify to the goodness of God. Some are baby Christians in that area and you don't tithe. I feel bad for you. It would be wonderful if you did. Jesus said, God said, I'll open the windows of heaven. If it would just click, if you just quit hanging on to that dollar and you put Jesus Christ first, your poverty problem will be taken care of. I know what I speak of. You can't buy righteousness. You can't do that. You can't buy mercy. You just be faithful to God. He's sovereign. Let him meet your need. The problem of sickness. This woman had spent all that she had. She had nothing left. We read in John in chapter 11 and verse 4. This is concerning Lazarus. Some people's sickness comes to them for the glory of God. It's not always a result of personal sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. It's to teach us many times that God is enough. That His grace is sufficient. Some this morning you can enjoy good health if you would just bring it to God. If you'd bring it to Christ. Sometimes God wants us to be, He wills us to allow sickness to come into our lives just because we're not following Him closely to get our attention. Sometimes we have sickness in our lives and it is for the glory of God. I know many good Christians that get sick. And in the sickness, they even glorify God. That's wonderful. Nurses hear about it. Doctors hear about it. Loved ones hear about it. It's all for the glory of God. I am saying this, the problem of sickness is taken care of in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's read all the way down to verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? The answer to life's problems. I said it was from the cradle to the grave. Man's biggest problem, his enemy, death. And Christ conquered it. So here's the ruler of the synagogue. He said, Jesus, come to my house. My daughter's sick. She's near unto death. In the journey, he meets this woman who has the issue of blood and deals with these people. They're just about there. And some of the people from the synagogues, they come and say, too late, she's dead. Death is a problem to everybody but Jesus. It says in verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, this is just like Jesus, by the way, be not afraid. There's the great enemy, death, at his house door, his daughter. She's gone. How his heart must have broke in 1,000 pieces at that news. But Jesus is there. This isn't some pie-in-the-sky religion. And Jesus looks to him and says, don't be afraid. Believe. Verse 37 says, and he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. Death's a terrible thing. Verse 39, and when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed. Ooh. They laughed at Christ, like some people do today. And they laughed him to scorn. And when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, Peter, James, and John, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. I guess so. That's what you call an understatement right there. Think of your child. Life has left her. She's gone. Think of your child. There she lays. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Just believe. Daughter, arise. She gets up. She was a corpse. She gets up. And she walks. Everybody's astonished. Without words, Jesus conquered the grave. Go to John in chapter 11. Pastor Josh read that. John in chapter 11. Let me just read these two verses. Verse 25. Jesus said unto her, this is Martha. This is before Lazarus was raised from the dead at the voice of Jesus. I am the resurrection. Listen to what Jesus says to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus said, I am the resurrection. The first fruits. The guarantee. We've been praying for Dale Bishop. Some of you know this. You heard this at prayer meeting. Last Sunday morning, we prayed for Dale again. He's near death, but in fact, his heartbeat went way down, way. They thought they lost him in the hospital. And they were able to bring him back. Kind of shocked him and all that kind of stuff. And they're able to bring him back. This is Dale Bishop. You know him. I know him. This is Dale Bishop, faithful man of God. This is Dale Bishop, feet of clay, but he was a faithful man of God and is a faithful man of God unless he's gone home at this point. They'd all given up hope and they brought him back. And Dale opens his eyes and says to his people around the bed, why did you bring me back? Dale Bishop, I quote, don't do that again. That's what he said. I was almost there. I could see it. He said, don't. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. All of you ain't got no problems. You say, oh yeah, pastor, I got problems. No, you don't. Not if you're saved. You've got some mountains to climb. You've got some oceans to swim. Let's not call them oceans. Some rivers to swim. You've got maybe some deep water and some storms. That's in front of you, but you don't face those things alone. You're born again. You're part of the family of God. You've got a Savior in heaven. He's going to help you every step of the way. You aren't going to drown. Man, you're not going to lose. You're not going to lose it all. You have Christ. He didn't leave us alone. All of your problems, financial problems, health problems, mountains of sickness and adversity, even the grave. You've got no problems if you've got Christ. You understand, if you're born again, it's all been taken care of. You're going to get to heaven. You're going to wish you'd done a better job living for God. Don't get down in the mouth about that right now. Get your eyes on Christ and start living for him right now. All of our problems are settled. They're taken care of. Because I'm born again, I have a God that's sovereign. He shepherds me in my life. I just need to follow him.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.